ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्रस्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपरिं मातरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशम् प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता शिव शाखा। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। कंटिन्यूइंग टू स्पीक अबाउट द एटीट्यूड विद विच पिलग्रिमेज इज अंडरटेकन, दिस इज such an important topic, of course, not just specifically going on pilgrimage, but considering our whole life as a pilgrimage, a journey to the lotus feet of Krishna with many obstacles on the way, beginning with our own conditioned bad intelligence. Before going on a pilgrimage, one makes a sankalpa, a resolute determination that I will do this. So in the same way, our life's resolution that we have to do whatever we need to do to go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime, to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada to the best of our capacity as long as we are here, which means jaro buddhi parihari, giving up lower states of consciousness. We have to rise above that, and not become involved in promoting ourselves as a very big person, or considering how we can become very rich, or any of the other ways in which we can be misled. Maya has many tricks, but they're all in a few categories. There's gross sense gratification, subtle sense gratification. It's all actually in one category, sense gratification. Then you can divide into two, gross sense gratification and subtle sense gratification. And gross sense gratification, you can categorize into rup, ras, sparsha, shabda, gandha, the sense gratification of touching, tasting, feeling, smelling, and hearing. And then again, that can be divided into someone, or subtle sense gratification, considering oneself superior to others, within the mind, meditating on sense gratification, meditating on gross sense gratification. In general, thinking ourselves separate from Krishna. So we're all on a pilgrimage. We're most fortunate to be on a pilgrimage. Most people just waste their lives. They're just Lochan Bale, She Papi, Elo or Gelo. Henu Avatar Ja Roti Nahib Hello, Lochanbale she papi elo agelo. Regarding Nityananda Prabhu, Lochanda Thakur says that such an avatar, whoever did not have any feelings for him did not arise in them. Lochan says that, what can you say about a person? He came, he went. His life has no meaning. He was born and he died. So, pilgrimage, I've been discussing pilgrimage, not only of Vaishnavas. The pilgrimage of various pious people, various categories of pious people within Vedic culture. And there's also Yatvaya Samtirtham, the pilgrimage place for crows, which is where the impious people, they like to take pleasure in things which have not even a remote connection with their actual self-interest. So we can discuss also about the Vaishnava pilgrimage, which Vaishnavas, they like to go to places connected with Vishnu prominently. They may go to other places also. I've personally visited, I couldn't count how many Shiva temples I visited and temples of demigods, but mostly just when we're going to some place or we're passing, or we go to a town for some preaching program and there's some prominent Shiva temple there. Prominent Shiva temples in Tamil Nadu. Chidambaram is there where we have Nataraj. Mostly they have the lingas, but there he's dancing. And Tanjavur, that big, huge Nandi, Brihadishwara. And there are so many others also. But we're really interested to visit the holy place connected with Vishnu, where they're with. It's not that we disrespect the demigods, but the whole atmosphere in a holy place connected with Vishnu is very conducive for our devotional advancement. Whereas, Rameshwara, of course, most important Shiva temple in Tamil Nadu. But holy place came with Vishnu, the whole atmosphere is conducive. For devotional service to Krishna, when we go to a holy place connected with Shiva or Durga, we see the deity as a devotee of Krishna, but everyone else doesn't. Most people, they don't think at all, much, hardly at all, when they go about any. I mean, most people have no idea of any spiritual philosophy. And if they do, it's all mixed up and incorrect, unless they've read Prabhupada's books or unless they're in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. Even if they have read Prabhupada's books, they must still be mixed up. So we like to go to places connected with Vishnu. And there are so many in this part of the world, most of the Divya Deshams of the Ramanuja Sampradaya are, it must be more than half in what's now called Tamil Nadu. Is it? Must be. I would think so. Then 40 or 50. So almost half. Is it? I thought it should be more. Anyway, so many. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our particular preference is, of course, for Vrindavan, which includes Rajamandal, all of Rajamandala, and Navadvip Dham, in which we like to go to Mayapur, and Puri, the place of Jagannath, the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he chose to stay. these three places in particular. And Gora Mara Jeshabashtane Koralo Brahmana Ronge Sheshabashtana Heribawami Pranayi Bhagata Sange, all the places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited, we like to visit in the association of loving devotees. And there are other places, of course, connected with Krishna's pastimes. Dwarka is most famous. Mathura is usually considered along with Vrindavan. And we have where Krishna went to kidnap Rukmini Kundina in Maharashtra, and where he was forced to stand outside, as the story goes, by Pundalik, the devotee, in Pandharpur. And there are many places connected with Krishna's pastimes. And there are so many old and ancient and new temples of Krishna, Vishnu. But we like to especially visit the holy places connected with Krishna, the dhams. Then most people, the dham means the eternal residence of the Supreme Lord. So we have Vrindavan dham, Navari dham, Mathura dham, Dwarka dham. They're eternal places which are manifest within the material world. There's a difference between them and tirthas. So the Vaishnavas know this, the Vaishnavas who've heard from other Vaishnavas, but most people who visit Vrindavan, they don't know, especially at the present time. It used to be that who visited Vrindavan, it was mostly committed devotees. But nowadays, for better or for worse, it's become a tourist spot, religious tourist spot, and so many people come from Delhi and other places, and they really don't know anything about the deep understanding of what is the dham, what is a holy place, and some of them, you see them, they seem to have very little understanding that this is a holy place. Wherever they go, it's just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever he sees Vrindavan. So for the materialists, they go to Vrindavan and they say it as another place. Where's the ice cream shop? We came for a daytime visit. It's an outing from Delhi, so when we go out with our parents, ice cream. They may think like that. Of course, there's benefits still. But the devotees, they don't treat Vrindavan like some other place. Wherever the devotees go, they want to serve Krishna. But within Vrindavan, there are special opportunities for service, for serving the dham, serving the dhammavasis. These are important things that one is supposed to do. When one goes to Vrindavan, visiting the holy places, pritis tad vasati stale, or living in them, very fond, pure devotees, or those on the level of bhava bhakti, one of their symptoms is they're very fond of living in places which Krishna lived in. And pilgrimage is counted among the nine processes of devotional services, pada sevana. The exemplar of pada sevana, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, is Lakshmi. Well, how do we do that? Well, the pujaris, they may massage the Lord's feet, and then dressing him and bathing him in the morning. Otherwise, how do the devotees do? Well, they do pada sevana, using their own feet to serve the Lord by going on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is mentioned as or counted among Pada Sevana. Pilgrimage is counted as an act of devotion. The activity itself is devotion, but it's devotional to the extent that the pilgrim is devotional. Someone may go to Vrindavan, he may be a migrant worker who goes from, say, Raebareli district in UP and gets a whole gang of them go to Vrindavan to work on a building site. So they're going to Vrindavan, but their purpose is to earn some money for Ahara Nidra Bhayamaitun, for continuing their material existence of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Of course, the very influence of the Dham, plus hopefully the people will have some piety, then they'll also not treat it exactly as a completely mundane place or like anything else, like anywhere else. That's described when the deities for Krishna Balaram temple were coming from Rajasthan by truck, how the workers and the contractor, who was a Muslim, and many of the workers, they were Muslims, but they were very concerned that the deities come very nicely and they were very respectful. And the deities arrived in the middle of the night, and just as they entered Vrindavan on the truck, then it was a big wah, wah, all the peacocks of Vrindavan woke up and made a big noise to welcome Krishna and Balaram and the other deities and the I just can't remember his name, unusual name. And the contractor was telling her, "You be careful." It's Krishna. And they respected that. And probably they unloaded him if they wore any shoes, without any shoes on, because they had that much respect. But basically, but the point I'm trying to make here is that some people may go to Vrindavan not exactly for going on pilgrimage. Going on pilgrimage has a particular mindset. You might go there as a photographer so you can make a photo article and make some money, or do it as an assignment in the college if you're in college studying photography. So there's something like that, a migrant worker going, or one may be delivering, because naturally there are so many things need to be delivered, things have to be brought from outside. Grains, and so many dhotis have to be brought there because it's a place, you probably know all the shops there, which sell dhotis in Vrindavan, so someone has to come and deliver them. So they may be coming, it may be a regular thing. Oh, today, where am I going? I have to deliver in Mathura, Vrindavan, Hathras, Aligarh, like that, and then, okay, and then I can go back to wherever I came from. So maybe like that. So going on pilgrimage, there's a certain mindset that has to go with that. It's not just like, well, I'm going to doing deliveries and then go back. And devotion is the essence, the feeling that I'm going to submit myself here. I'm the humble mood, and that's with whether you're going on pilgrimage to petition the deity for passing an examination, a materialistic reason, or if you're going to a deity of Shiva or Durga, that element of submission. One has to bow down. There's another aspect of pilgrimage. There's a lot of bowing down. If one goes on parikrama in Vrindavan, one can expect to do a lot of bowing down. Actually, the only pilgrimage we should do in Vrindavan is Dandavat parikrama, because we should bow down at every piece of dust, but it becomes a little impractical. So we walk here and there. This Shah, what's his name? I can't. He built that big, beautiful temple in the center of Vrindavan for Radharaman to move there. But they didn't want to go. They stayed in their old temple. That's one of the famous temples, very beautiful temple, but it's not visited that much. Some merchant, he built it. And he had this thing when he was in Vrindavan. He didn't want his stool, because you have to pass stool, right? Everyone has to. He didn't want it to touch the dust of Vrindavan, so he had it caught and then brought outside. But I wonder who he engaged to take it outside. Maybe it was the Bungis of Vrindavan. I don't know. They're also Rajavasis. It's difficult to avoid interacting with Vrindavan in a mundane way. You have to pass urine, you have to pass stool, you may sneeze and spit. But one has to remember that this is the abode of the Lord, and it appears like an ordinary place, but it's not. So the attitude of submission, surrender, and particularly for Vaishnavas, I want to be purified. I'm coming here to serve and to be purified so that we can actually become qualified to enter the Dham. Bishoy charya kobe shuddha hobe man tobe hamaherabo Sri Vrindavan. When our minds become pure, free from material desires, then we can actually see Vrindavan. So we're praying for that as we bow down. But any pilgrimage, that submission has to be there. Bowing down, we know that there are the angas. You can either do panchanga, pranam, by bowing down without putting the whole body, but touching the head to the ground, and then not the whole body, or ashtanga. And all the limbs of the body, the most important of which is the mind. One has to bow down with the mind. Otherwise, if one bows down in a puffed up mood, that won't be accepted by who you're bowing down to. Of course, generally one will not want to bow down unless one has a feeling of submission. It's symbolic of, it's a statement that I am inferior to you, to whoever you're bowing down to. I am in need of your mercy. I accept that. And everyone else can see it also. There's a story of the Maharaj of Bardhaman, a very big figure in Bengal at the time, who used to regularly visit Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and he had the feeling, at one point he got the feeling, say, I'm a very big man in society. Everyone in Bengal knows me and respects me, and why am I bowing down before this sadhu? So he thought, next time I go, I won't bow down, and see how he reacts, if he gets upset or whatever. So he related, I heard this in a recorded lecture of Bon Maharaj. It's written down now in my book, because Bon Maharaj was very close to him. So he said that, okay, he walked in, okay, I'll see what, very puffed up. But he said, as soon as I came in his presence, I just was, I was forced. I had to bow down. I couldn't not bow down in his presence. Just, he was overwhelmed I have to bow down. But we may not have that all the time. We may not have, so at least we do it ritually. When we come before the deity, when we come before sannyasi, guru, we bow down. And if one fails to bow down before a sannyasi the first time one sees, then day one has to fast for the day. So it's made a rule so that we do it for our own benefit. If we do it happily, that's much better. But anyway, we should do it. Or if we do it unhappily, we don't get the same result as doing it happily. And if we don't do it, then we become offensive. So one should know the science of devotion. Actually, one should be guided on going on pilgrimage. There are so many things one has to do, so many things one has to observe in a holy place. So it's good to have a guide who can tell us what to do so we get the best benefit. But the best benefit we can have if there is devotion in our heart. And if there is devotion, we'll want to do all the things. It's not that, well, I'm feeling very devoted, so I don't have to bow down. I'm feeling very devoted today, but I don't feel like going to Mangalarti, so I'll be devoted not in Mangalarti, but it doesn't work. It's not counted. I was thinking we could make an Alpha Club. ALFA. Always late for Arati. Who wants to be in that club? There are a few who could be included in that. Don't be in the Alpha Club. Get in time. The Lord is very kindly getting up every day so that we can benefit from His merciful glance. So we shouldn't take it lightly. Be on time for Mangalarti. And gladly. There may be things like, if you don't come in time for Mangalarti, well, Prabhupada said, if you don't go to Mangalarti, no breakfast in the morning. Another time he said you should distribute one Krishna book as a prayaschitta. But anyway, we should go. Happily. If we could, I'm very, very happy to go. Remember Bilva Mangal Thakur running to see his girlfriend and crossing the river, which is very dangerous, the flooded river in Spate, by crossing the river by catching hold of a dead body and then climbing up over the wall by catching a snake which is hanging down from the tree and then jumping down and nearly breaking his bones in the pouring rain. Oh, if we could be so enthusiastic for Krishna. That's what the prostitute said to him, Chintamani. If you could be so enthusiastic for Krishna as you are for this bag of bones which you consider to be your girlfriend, me, then what a great devotee you'd be. And then, oh, she's right. Then he reformed and ran to Vrindavan and lived there for hundreds of years. So everything we do in bhakti, we can all go through the same processes, rising early, chanting our rounds and so on, but we're benefited according to the situation of our heart. And the purer our intention, the more the dham will reciprocate, the more Krishna will reciprocate. Devotees know that the dham is non-different from Krishna, so Krishna reciprocates. The more you put in, the more you get out. Actually, even better. It's a very good deal. You take one step toward Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards us. That's a good business, isn't it? You invest 1 lakh of rupees and you get 10 back. No, actually you get more because it's you keep your initial investment also. Right? Because you make one step toward Krishna, not away from Krishna. You have, and Krishna comes close to us if we want. And if we try to go away from Krishna, he'll still follow behind us. He's so merciful. But it's better to go toward him. Dham isn't especially merciful manifestation of Krishna, because even casual visitors or people who do their delivery of dhotis or whatever, they tend to get affected by Krishna manifesting as the Dham. And temples, just like this temple is being built, we can consider that as an expansion. We want to manifest Vrindavan here. We pray to Krishna to come. We can order a deity from Jaipur and bring him, but we still have to pray to him to come. It's not that it can be done mechanically, that, okay, I brought a deity. You can do that. But we see, sometimes we go to some Mayavadi temple where they have Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, and Durga, and then Shiva, and then Sai Baba. And you see the deities, there's no life. it's not the same. Even the deity may be very nicely carved, but Krishna's not happy to be there. So we have to call Krishna and then, please, you come. And then we have to be very serious to serve him. And then he'll be happy to stay. Or he'll be happy to manifest himself to us. This is the atmosphere to create. But the Dhams, they have that potency to change people's hearts, which is why we go. We want our hearts to be changed. Living in Vrindavan, that's one of the items of devotional service, very powerful for advancing in devotional service. So we can also, Srila Prabhupada told Burijan Prabhu that you, that was specific for him, that you preach for 10 years, then you go and live in Vrindavan, which he did, and he's been living there pretty much ever since, and particularly for retired people, they can go and live in Vrindavan. We have work all over the world. In another place, Srila Prabhupada wrote that Vrindavan is for inspiration and our real work is all over the world. So both things are there. But those who do go and live in Vrindavan, we see that they become very attached to that. They like to, even there are so many difficulties living there in so many ways, but still they become attached to Krishna as Vrindavan. So we can remember that when we go on pilgrimage. We're going to increase we're going with as much devotion as we can muster up to increase our devotion. It's everything a devotee does is for Krishna's pleasure. So going on pilgrimage also, let us go for Krishna's pleasure. Visiting holy places without that attitude, then obviously the result is going to be much less. How much devotional advancement did that member of a minority community make when they went to destroy the temple of Radha Govinda and other temples. They went there to kill and pillage and destroy. So it's very difficult to see how they made any devotional advancement. They made gargantuan offenses. Still, somehow or other, they were in Vrindavan. Regarding the chanting of the holy names, the offensive chanting, Srila Prabhupada stated that, well, he was specifically asked about the followers of a certain Baba who went to Wheelchair Loka or somewhere. Before he died, he was enacting the pastime of going around in a wheelchair, although he was claimed to be God. So his followers also chanted the names of Krishna, but their whole chanting was very offensive because they thought that he is Krishna. So it's all very offensive. So Srila Prabhupada was asked about that. He said, yeah, their chanting is offensive and they'll have to suffer the results of that. But when the offenses are cleared away, then the fact that they've chanted, that will be taken into consideration also. So nothing is lost, and there's gain from that. But still, at the same time, we don't want to encourage devotional going to Vrindavan. And now the construction going on, who can build the biggest temple? Who can get the most people coming? It's like a competition, just like they have different countries in the world, they have a competition. Who can build the tallest building? In Malaysia in the 1980s, they had the tallest building in the world in Kuala Lumpur. It was mostly empty. They didn't have any use for it, but they just wanted to say, we have the world's tallest building. And then shortly after that, someone built it somewhere else, and then they built in Dubai, and I think in Saudi Arabia, and they're always trying to make the world's tallest building. It's just childish to show our country has the world's tallest building. So in the same way, Vrindavan, who can make the tallest building? Who can make the most spectacular building so most people come? Not for preaching, but for prestige. That's not the way to go to Vrindavan or the way to deal with Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada wanted a beautiful temple so that people would come and be attracted, so that they could get an idea of pure devotional service, not so that he could advertise that, I'm the best guru. That wasn't his motive at all. Or, I'll purchase this much land, I'll invest so much money, I'll build apartments, I'll make so much profit. That's not the way one should deal with Krishna. That devotional advancement, we can't expect to make devotional advancement because it's not a devotional mentality, even if we're superficially building a temple of Krishna. The holy places are there for us to cultivate a sense of devotion. But if we have specifically another kind of sense, then where's the devotion? We don't even want devotion. Adapi hol jailila kore gora rai kono kono bhagavane deki bare pai. Up to the present day, fortunate people can see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going on in Navadvipa. But if our main motive in being in Navadvipa Dham is to sell a lot of chow mein or pizza so we can have money to support our eating, sleeping, mating and defending, we're not going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In a billion years, we're not going to see. We'll cooperate with all the devotees to promote the Gaur Purnima festival, make it bigger and bigger and bigger. Not for the benefit of people coming, so that our business will expand. And as the Mayapur city expands, then there'll be the Mayapur Chamber of Commerce. And how we can promote more and more people to come so that we can make more and more profit. This is not the proper attitude. We know Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, someone came to him and said, well, I'm a young man now, I'm trained as a doctor, I want to purchase a piece of land and practice my profession. He said, what? Gorky Shah Babaji said to him, you can't purchase a piece of land, even all the wealth in the world, you can't purchase even one piece of dust in Navadvip town. And you think, I'm going to become the owner of a piece of land. Now, of course, we can say practically, we may, yeah, I have to build something, make a bit. I don't know, I see some devotees, they go to Mayapur and Vrindavan and they make these schemes for building. And I don't know, they've had years and years of devotional life and they're in their old age and they're making some business scheme. Is this how we should reciprocate with the Dham? We should, especially in the end of life, younger people, they have families to support and this and that. But older people should go to the Dham and roll in the dust and chant Hare Krishna. Follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur's guidance on how to enter the Dham. What is that? Kabe Navadipe Suraduna Tate Suradhuni Tate Harade Ha Krishna Bala Nachya Gaya Barabo Nala Lata Torotale. That when he's thinking that when in Navadvipa on the bank of the Ganga calling out Radhe Krishna Hare, I will sing and dance and wander among the forests and creepers and trees. This attitude and the end result of all this is that the last line of the song Hoibo Radharadasi, as if one has the mood of ultimate humility and just giving up all material conceptions, then his aspiration, or he knows that by doing so, is teaching us that by doing so, one can have the opportunity to become the maidservant of Sri Radha. So that's becoming the maidservant of Sri Radha. There's a lot of difference between setting up a chow mein shop and becoming a servant of Radha. I can sell so much chow mein, so many plates, I'll make so much money, and then I'll invest and set up another one. Okay, some grihasthas do things like that, but this gift that we should think. What is the possibility? And what are we doing? Not only going to Vrindavan, everywhere, anywhere. What are we doing? We have the great opportunity to be Krishna conscious, and what are we doing? Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vanta kalpatarupya strakipasindavya vacha patitanam pa.